come into a contentness after a while. I think Clyde talked about this in one of his videos, where people would come up to him and say, you know, I have a real guilt because, you know, I don't read my Bible. And I feel like at this point in my life, I've just come to start resting and knowing that God has every single thing mapped out for me in his, you know, perfect divine plan. And I don't really have to stress that much about necessarily the things that are happening or day-to-day occurrences. And that was just what so much of my Christian life was. So every day it was like this. Well, like when you believe in free will, like every decision is monumental. Even just deciding how you're going to spend your morning, you know. And you can, then you can take that very logically all the way down to, you know, when you believe in free will, you and when you believe in the hell doctrine and all these sorts of things, like, oh man, I can't even enjoy my morning breakfast because what if I should be out evangelizing right now because people are going to hell. Like, how can I morally do anything other than evangelize? So you left in this just paralysis because you're in a sin-obsessed culture where every decision, a single decision could send you to eternity and hell, you know. Man, I picked the wrong day to stop believing in God, and now I died, and there it is. Or, like, you know, pick the wrong day to shake my fist at God or whatever. So now that I, you know, when you come to realize and know who God really is, for me, you know, in 2020 was when I left Christianity and started to come to believe in the salvation of all. And, you know, for the first, like, year or two into it, I couldn't stop reading it, like, anything and everything. And I feel like I reached some sort of saturation point, like just a point of rest and being content. And I wouldn't even say I even talk to very many people at all about the things of God and things like that. Cause I mean, of course, yeah, back in Christianity, it was this evangelical, you just have to reach the masses. And now I believe God will reach exactly who he wants to reach in exactly his time. So, you know, life has been really great. And you don't, you know, back when I was a Christian, you'd read these verses about freedom and none of it would really make any sense, right? Like, it's one of the least free religions or belief systems in the world. But now those verses really start to make sense. Like, Christ freed us for freedom. And that's how I've been living my life, I'd say, in the past few years.
I hear what you're saying. I know it takes a lot of pressure off when you realize that no one's getting cheated. Everyone's time will come. And we can't convince anybody of anything anyhow. And so, yeah, that brings a lot of peace. People aren't projects anymore. You know, you can be friends. You can relate to people just because you want to relate to them.
Yeah. And not everything is wrapped around the idea of, well, this is actually something that became very apparent once I left Christianity, is basically all of the friends that I had were no longer my friends anymore once they realized I wasn't a part of their club. I remember I was in a co-ed Bible study, and right around the pandemic time is when I started having questions and started doubting Christianity. And I was in this co-ed Bible study, and I had just moved to a new city. And these were kind of all probably my 10 or 15 closest friends, or all the friends I really had my whole life had been through religion. And after a while, I remember in one Bible study, I said, you know, this is after watching some of, you know, Clyde's videos. I was like, you know, I saw a beautiful woman walk down the street, and I've come into the realization that God made women and made them beautiful, and I don't have to feel guilty and avert my eyes at God's creation. And of course, that in this Baptist Bible study, that definitely threw up some red flags. You know? So, you know, the pandemic happens, and when things start reopening, July of 2020, I get invited out to, you know, some of the male leaders sit me down and basically say I'm not welcome anymore, and that they're concerned about, you know, some of the things that I'd been saying in the group, and they wanted to protect the women. Things, and it's just, you know, and then you realize, well, that friendship really wasn't really true friendship. It was conversion club. And as long as you're either in the club or on your path towards being in the club, then you're accepted. Otherwise, you know, yeah, it's just the natural consequence of any organization that's dogmatic and has a creed and a list of beliefs. And because what do they really have if, like, someone says, well, I don't believe, they're not built to have a diversity of opinion or diversity of thought, which is the real sad thing about denominationalism, you know. If, you know, one of the things I think a lot about church is, like, I think there's a ton of people who love God, you know.
Sure.
If American Christianity could simply accept that multiple people can have contradictory beliefs and it doesn't matter, like, you know, I think there's the Methodist Church had a split recently over their views on gay marriage or something like that. And it's like, who really cares? Like, some people can believe in it, some not. And it's like, well, why do we have to get all up in arms? That's quite sad, but now I don't have to deal with any of that. So,
right. So what does your friend group look like now?
Oh, man. All the atheists that I used to hate, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. That's been probably one of the themes of, you know, I'm 28 years old now, so probably younger than most viewers of this, but, you know, it's that sometimes you find yourself in a lonely place, especially because maybe you don't, I definitely don't fit in Christian circles or around those sorts of people, and they don't really want to be my friend either. But at the same time, I still love God, you know? So on the other end of the spectrum, there might be people who hear me say, you know, I believe in God and in Christ and things like that. And they might not completely understand that, the nuances of that, that I'm not a religious person. Learning to, because of this, I definitely have less friends than I would otherwise, but I'm completely actually content with that. Even family are very confused. Many won't, you know, speak with me or talk with me even many years later. But I guess it's no small thing to me to worry. You know, it's not really a major concern. It's actually something you have to accept. You know, if you're on the fence about, you know, I was looking in my old Bible that I had from my time in church, and I have a date written. It was almost exactly 5 years ago. September 4th, 2020, I wrote, you know, I was reading the passage in Matthew, I think, where Jesus talks about, you know, I've come to set brother against brother, you know, father against son sort of thing. And I'm reading that is when I made the decision for myself to, okay, I might have to give up friends, family. But I guess gaining the freedom, the peace of mind, and getting to know God for who he really is has been worth it 100 times over.
So what are some of the truths you talked about, just the freedom you have because, you know, of God's sovereignty and salvation of all. What are some of the other truths that have impacted you?
Like the story of the scriptures is not a moral one, like, right. Which is a complete 180 turn from religion, where, you know, it's like Jesus is Santa Claus, right? Like, you know, checking the list, seeing if you're naughty or nice. And that truth brings freedom, because we as humans have this natural instinct to, you know, when you're told not to put your hand in the cookie jar, and what, you know, does the kid do? You know, he does it. We sure. do what we're, when we're told not to do something, we want to do it. And that's just our human nature. So for me, learning that, like, the moral issues of my life are kind of more secondary, which for some people to hear that in relation to God is blasphemous. Right. But knowing that God gave us all a conscience, knowing that he's directing all of our steps, knowing that, you know, being able to just live in that actually, I think, has made me a better person. Because we all know that the following a long list of moral laws and rules hasn't exactly made Christians the most, greatest forces for good on this earth. Exactly. So I guess completely getting rid of that thought, which is very common in Christian circles. Well, you know, oh, well, if he's not following that Bible education, little Johnny is going to become a drug dealing, womanizing, murderer. And just dispelling that when thinking about my everyday actions, that's been a big truth. And then also as that extends into, like, relationships, you know, as a Christian, I remember I was, you know, dating a girl, and I would break up with her and get back together because she wasn't a Christian. I felt like I couldn't be in this relationship because the church didn't agree with it, you know. And in reality, I mean, you know, God, like, there's no, you know, I can be with her, not be with her, have sex, don't have sex. Like, I have freedom to do, you know, whatever. And the restrictions of that religion put on me actually end up causing, like, a lot of heartbreak and pain and confusion for her. And so learning that, you know, with my love life, that I don't have to feel guilt and shame over who I date or who I talk to or any of that. It was a really big change in healing a lot of like the pain that came from, you know, relationships like that, where I felt like I was always a person who had one foot in the door and one foot out.
We mentioned that religion is so sin focused that, you know, I've talked to people already, you know, when they find out I don't believe in hell, they'll go, well, if I believe like you did, I would be out womanizing, robbing banks, dealing drugs, partying all the time, cheating on my wife. And I'm like, well, you just told me a lot about yourself. But I mean, I haven't went to church since COVID. So, you know, I haven't robbed any banks yet. I haven't cheated on my wife yet. I haven't, you know, there's something about this freedom that when you get rid of all that thinking about where you might mess up and just live life like you talk about, I like what you're saying there, that you just live, you know, you're not fighting stuff.
I wonder how much that comes out of almost arrogance, like the thought that, oh gosh, like they're the only people who could be moral, like that, without their strict standards, that, like, it's like they're above other people because they have these certain beliefs about God. But I don't know. part of me wishes that, I mean, I think we're seeing actually, I mean, year by year, you know, church attendance numbers are continuing to decline. I think a lot of at least American culture is waking up to how they've been lied to, but I don't think that they necessarily, you know, I think there's a lot of people leaving religion, but I don't know. There's kind of a lot of people I feel just out there wandering and drifting more and more, which is okay.
They know something's wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes I think I have more in common, well, I'm pretty sure more in common with an atheist than I do with a Christian.
Of course.
Is that, you know, we both recognize what's wrong. They may not recognize the solution at this point, but that will come at some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else you been thinking about?
Well, I've been thinking about this next year of 2026 coming up, and I'd really like to help sponsor a new meeting together of all of us believers. And I'm thinking about some more warm potentially. So maybe keep your eyes peeled or we can talk more about it. You know, the times we get to meet together and the videos that we see on this channel of all of us meeting, you know, some of the most cherished times that I've had. And it can be, you know, if we really think about it, the number of people that I feel like live and walk in this truth is, you know, of course, very, very small. You know, we're not in the numbers game, but it's nice to have those meetings and getting able to talk to people, hear about their stories, meet new people who've come into the truth, and hear about how our idea of truth is changing, which is, I'm going to sidetrack, but that's like one of my favorite things about this community of believers is the willingness to change your beliefs. So we can talk about that after, but we're just thinking about maybe in February or in March. Been meaning to talk to Clyde and you, but I would really love to have another sponsor meeting. And the last thing I'm thinking about, and one thing that I think just brings me a lot of joy with this community is people's willingness to change their beliefs about spiritual topics. And knowing that, like, everything we believe is believed with, like, degrees of belief. Right. And it's never always 100%. You know, we might be 99.9% on something, but hey, man, if someone presents enough evidence for us on that belief, you know, and then the amount of evidence that we have to have needs to be, you know, in proportion to our prior belief. Like, you know, if we hold very strong belief, we might need more evidence to shift mm-hmm. it over. But, or if something's 50-50, we don't quite know it, you know, you might be able to just bring this verse and say, hey, okay, you know, now I might believe this a little bit more. But that allows progress in a way that, you know, from reading maybe things that Clyde or others have wrote 20 years ago in old Bible student notebooks and then seeing how that changed, or a lot of the new research, you know, around, you know, what I'm reading right now is the book about the premillennial kingdom, and how much of that scripture study had been done kind of recently, and how there's no like, oh, this is what you must believe or what we believe 100%. It's like, well, here's some pretty good evidence that, logical evidence that this is how this all fits together. You know, I'm a trained statistician, so that's a very experimental, like, experimentally, scientifically, logically honest pursuit of truth, and I never once have to feel that my brain is ever turned off, which is so much of Christian belief. It says, man, just stick your head in the sand, cover your ears, sing the song, give the tithe, and move on. And and I don't really have to like change necessarily who I am in that way. So
I like that. I think that as we learn more, first of all, the logical things become more logical the more truth you have, unlike Christianity, you know, yeah. like Trinity and how to figure it. But the more truth you have, the more truth you have, the better God is. Mm-hmm. God is more good than we ever thought. God is more loving. Mm-hmm. God is more happy. All these things, and every step just takes us to another whole appreciation of who God is. And yeah. you think you've learned it, and then you find out there's just another whole level.
I heard that you're working on a book. You and Clyde are working on a book. Do you want to? I want to interview you. I want to learn about this. Because actually, you know, I have a lot of non-religious friends that have asked sort of some of the questions that might be answered in the book. So I want to, why don't you take some
time? About the animal book?
Yeah, cut a little promo.
Yeah. Well, it's all, you know, we run it through the BSN because it goes through the whole editing process there. And we got people that, no matter how hard I try, religion still kind of sneaks its way into my writing sometimes. So people pick all that apart, of course, grammar and all that. And so that process is done. So now it's basically just designing the book and putting it all together. But again, I think that what we learn about, especially our pets and our relationship with pets and animals, and they really are souls just like us. I mean, they aren't exactly like us, of course, but they do love, they do care, and they're part of the redemption of all things, the reconciliation of all things. And so I think it just brings a lot of, and of course, at the end, then we sneak in the restoration of everybody and everything, you know, just the kind of, take it to its full conclusion that God, and so pets are part of that. Our Uncle Charlie, who was an alcoholic, is part of that. You know, everything that we worried about. So that's kind of the goal of the book.
Do you have a working title yet? Or
right now we're working with Animals in God's Story.
Amazing. So, I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're excited about that.
Other things that I've, you know, spiritually been thinking about, or actually writing a lot about it recently, has been music in the Christian church. You know, how that's used, you know, for manipulation, financial gain. The structure of worship, why it exists in contemporary church, the ways in which music affects the emotions, affects your reasoning abilities, the order in which, you know, music comes first often in a service before a sermon.
And the offering,
yeah. How that... you know, the reason why they don't do the offering at the beginning of a church service, how much money, you know, many of these large bands make, and how they're more or less indistinguishable from anything secular. And, you know, and how that, and then going back into the Bible and how, you know, things were flipped, and how music came usually, and music and chanting would come after. The effects of being in a crowd and chanting and trance-like, getting into like a trance-like state and how that can affect things. You know, one thing, you know, people could look at if they're interested in learning more about this is Liberty University. There's this Christian university, and they had their orientation for their freshmen or whatever. I think they're a Christian university. Mm-hmm. And they had this very large, like, kind of like rock concert where they're chanting for Jesus or whatever in this large crowd. And these kids are getting so excited and everything. And it's just, yeah, this happens across the country. But it's just really, really very effective and appealing, both marketing strategy and emotional tactic to get, you know, especially a demographic that's fading away from the church, you know, more interested and excited. So I've got a lot of research on it. Maybe I'll compile into something. Or something, but that might be a project for 2026. And yeah,
that's one of the things that, you know, Clyde and the organization does is helps people put books together and get them published. And you have an instant outlet, you know, just from his website and whatnot. And I remember this was before I even got into any of these truths that we're talking about now. I was out seeking. So I went to this big, in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, they had this big healing, you know, words of faith, all this stuff, big meeting. And so I thought, well, I'm going to check this out. So I went down, and it was like a 2-day thing. And on the second day, before it was ready to go, they got everybody into this auditorium, and they took down like the first 8 rows of chairs, which I didn't like, whatever. And they started the music, and it started real soft. And, you know, people are standing there waving and all that. And then you could just hear it start to build, you know, the bass, the drums, the guitar, everything started to build. And it built and it built. And the more it built, you know, people started falling over. And I'm looking around and, you know, and it kept going. And after a while, I just got down, got on my knees and crawled out. But that was the one time where I seen it. And I mean, these people were professionals. I mean, it was very intentional, obviously. And
to bring yourself to that level of cognitive dissonance, to like somehow both perform and then not, it's kind of like maybe the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, but it's definitely a psychological phenomenon that I still want to attend a Benny Hinn kind of revival. And I want to be in that front row, and I'm going to start taking some dives. I want to be a performer. I want to get in that crowd, but
anything else you got?
No, that's it, man. It's such a blessing to talk to you.
Yeah. Good to talk to you again.
And, I'm excited to see you and see, you know, everyone together again. And I'm so, so thankful. You know, when I think back, gosh, the way that I ended up leaving religion was just through finding kind of random YouTube videos from Clyde that had, you know, a paltry number of views, but they found the right person who, I don't know what algorithm I hit in YouTube in my Christian searches, and the algorithm maybe picked up that Clyde's videos are Christian tangential, but without really knowing that it's not. And the one video about Hebrews is not for today from 2019 from the Johnstown conference. It's just, you know, the things just started clicking with me, and it went from a crazy 5-year journey and now it's going to be a lifelong journey, you know, of learning who God really is. So thank you for putting so much work and effort into these YouTube videos, and I hope you keep it up.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I've really enjoyed the podcast with you and Clyde as well, Freedom Journey. I've had a lot of long drives lately, so I've been putting those on. So those have been great. So yeah, I'm just really encouraged and hope I get to see you soon.
All right. Same. You have a good day.
See you, bye. See you,